Amen. Well, let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. I want to share a message, how great things, and certainly that's what we need to do, is we need to go and tell people the great things the Lord has done for us. Amen. We have a wonderful message, a wonderful Savior, and we certainly need to be willing to say, Lord, here am I will go. How great things. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and beginning in verse 16. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. And Lord, we rejoice in the fact that we can open up the Bible and read from it. And Lord, we can study and try to make some practical applications into our life. And Lord, may we be reminded tonight of the great things that God has done for us. And Lord, may we rejoice in that goodness of the Lord and be able to take that positive, exciting message out to others, that they might understand who God is and how God can work in their life. And so, Lord, I pray for your blessing on the preaching of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 24 is our text verse. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. I think sometimes we need to stop and just remind ourselves of the good things and great things that God has done for us. And we can live in a world that seems to be corrupt and bent on defying God and rejecting God. And it's easy for us to fall into a place in the spirit of griping and complaining, because we don't get everything that we want, or everything does not work the way that we desire. And we start to establish our own ways and our own desires rather than following what it is the Lord wants us to accomplish, because we forget how great things God has done for us. And certainly Israel was in that condition in 1 Samuel. The problem was they had demanded of Samuel to anoint them a king, that they might be like the other nations. And the sad thing is, what I'm seeing a trend in Christianity is we want to be like the culture, and we're wanting to fit in with the culture. And that's not something that's new, because Israel had a problem. They looked around them and they saw that other nations had kings over them. And that was their desire, to copy the other nations that had kings. They wanted a king over themselves. The problem was, the thing would displease Samuel, because Israel was a theocracy, not a monarchy. And I think sometimes we forget that God is our king, God is our ruler, God is our savior, and we live in light of who he is, and don't want to fall into the trap of Israel and desiring something to match what the world is or what the world does. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, in verse 7, it says, and he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And I've read that verse, and as I was working on this message and putting it together, I reread that verse. This morning I read that verse, and I just read the verse again before I came in here to preach tonight. And it's amazing to me because the response, the request that is being made of Samuel is that he's old. And he's saying, literally, not only are you old, but your sons aren't even walking the ways of God. Now, let me say this. It does not matter how long we are saved or how old we may be and whether someone is walking with God or not, it does not give justification for you to decide you want to follow the example of the world. And so he goes on and says in verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And you know, sometimes you pray for something, God will give it to you, even if it's not good for you. And I think sometimes we have to be careful that we're not just asking God to give us something because we are enticed by what the world is doing. And we forget who is our God, who is our king, who is the boss, who is the master in our life. And Israel had that problem in this situation, grieved Samuel. And as a result of it, they would reject their king, who was their God, and literally fall under the chastening hand of their God. And chapter 12 of 1 Samuel is Samuel dealing with the children of Israel in reference to the chastening hand of God on a people who have done wickedly and had rejected him. Now, the amazing thing is this, that after this, Saul is anointed king of Israel, Samuel reminds the children of Israel how God had given them some great victories. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded about that. He reminds them that God had led them out of Egypt. For 430 years, they were slaves. They were in bondage in Egypt. But God would miraculously bring them out of the Egypt under the hand of Moses by the power of God and not by the strength of the arm of man. And he would take them through the wilderness for 40 years, and he would feed them in the wilderness. Now, God can lead us, and God can feed us, amen? And he reminds them that now he has embedded them in Canaan. And Canaan is the promised land that God had promised. He would take them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And literally, Samuel's reminding them, this is the process that God has worked in your life to bring you to this very point. Why? Because he wants them to be aware of the great things that God has done on their behalf. Because when we forget the great things that God has done on our behalf, then we are turn our back on the Lord and turn towards the world and think we can get blessings in the world that God you think God can't give to you. And so how great things God has done for us. First of all, I see in verse 21, that he gives us purpose for life. In verse 21, Samuel reminds them, and turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And here's the problem. We have a tendency of wandering without God. We have a tendency to turning away from the Lord. I love that one song, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And in our flesh, we have a tendency to want to turn aside away from the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 6, in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. See, God wants to give us purpose and direction in our life. And the things that God has for us in purpose of life are good things for us. However, we're prone to wander without God. And Israel had that problem. They were constantly turning away from their God then as a result of it, they would suffer the consequences of their sin, and they would fall into bondage once again, and God would have to set them free. And so Samuel says, remember this, don't wander away from the Lord. Don't turn aside. Why? Because it will take you down a path that'll be after vain things. So you're empty without God. When we wander without the Lord, we are empty without God. There is no better way to live. There is no greater experience than to know that God is with us and he is abiding with us forever. In James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, Israel forgot that they had positioned themselves against God. Their king was their God, but they rejected his authority and rejected his reigning over them, and they positioned themselves against their God. Now, I need to challenge you with this tonight, that we must be careful that we are not looking for purpose in life away from where the Lord is, because all it does is end up taking you down a path of vain things, things that are empty and of no value. I preached on addiction and things like that this morning, and one of the major problems with getting consumed with those things is that it puts you on a path that's away from God that has no value. It's vain, and it's an empty life. You're a shell without any hope, but yet God has purpose for us to fulfill life for his glory. Notice not only were they wandering without God and empty without God, but there was no prophet without God. In verse 21, it says, which cannot profit nor deliver. And so he's saying this, that when you turn away from me and you say you want a king over you like the other nations, realize this, that when you line up with the other nations, you are lining up against me. And when you line up against me, there is nothing that you will profit in your living your life. In Mark 8:36, Jesus said, what shall a profit of man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so what good is it to be able to have everything that this world has to offer for you and come to the end of your life and your life has no value, has no worth, is not forgiven, is not cleansed, is not redeemed, you're not delivered, you're not reconciled of God? What in the world is your life worth? It's of no profit away from the Lord. And so when we walk with God, we experience the great things that God can do for us. And Samuel's trying to get the children of Israel back on track again because they were looking to other means of finding blessings. And he's saying there is no value and no worth in this world apart from God. But he goes on and says this, there's no deliverance without God. In verse 21, he says, for then you shall go after vain things, which is empty, cannot profit. So that's something that cannot give you any increase or blessing, nor deliver. And so there is no way that they would be able to be delivered from the enemy if God was not blessing them. You know, the whole book of Judges is about Israel's rebellion and rejection of their God and God raising up a judge to deliver them out of the bondage of the enemy. We just studied about Gideon today in Sunday school, and what a great event in the life of Israel, as God would use a man that was in fear, was hiding, was threshing and hiding the grain because he was afraid of the Midianites. And God's judgment and his chastisement is upon Israel, but God was going to deliver them through Gideon. And God miraculously came on the scene and set them free. There was no deliverance until God raised up the judge. And Samuel's reminding the children of Israel the great things God has done for them, in that God is the one who would bring deliverance, and their direction they were going on and the position they were taking was not going to provide that deliverance. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 12, Ephesians 2 and 12, Paul says that at At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in this world. What's he saying? There's no deliverance. There is no way to be set free from bondage. Then in verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye what sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. There is only one person who can bring deliverance and reconciliation in our lives, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember the benefits of knowing Christ as your Savior, that in Christ there is deliverance and there is freedom and there is forgiveness and reconciliation. And Samuel's telling Israel, you need to remember the great things that God has done is that he has delivered us. And we need to worship and we need to praise him and surrender to him. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, the one thing about the Christian is we know what it means to be delivered. We know what it means to be set free. Paul goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The deliverance of God is there is assurance that heaven is our home. We are heaven bound, and God is sending his Son into this world to rapture us and capture us, if you will, out of this world. The dead in Christ, those who are sleeping in Christ, are not bound to the grave because they have been delivered by the grace of God. The great things the Lord has done for us. It gives us purpose in life. And we have direction and we have awareness of who God is and what he can do on our behalf. Well, not only the purpose in life, but in verse 22 in our text, is the presence, his presence through life. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Notice he's not committed to his people because of who they are. He's committed to his people because of who he is. And he goes on and says, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. So the presence, his presence through life, is based upon the fact that his character is faithfulness. And the very character of our God in which we worship is the fact that he is absolutely faithful to the covenants and the promises that he makes unto us. And Israel need to be reminded that, wait a minute, God is not going to abandon you and God is not going to forsake you because of the fact God is faithful to you based on his own name. Amen. Not based on you. You know, we fail the Lord every day. I fail the Lord every day. I'm thankful when the Lord looks at me, he doesn't look at me and who I am, but he looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm assured of the fact of the presence of God through life, because the character trait of God is he is the one who is faithful. I am not faithful, but he is always faithful. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 1, it said, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, then that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. For, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The conclusion of Paul was this, that the Lord is the one who is faithful. And God is always faithful to us. Don't ever falsely accuse God. God is always with us, and he has promised to abide with us. He has promised to be our God. He has promised to be our Heavenly Father. He sent his Son into this world to be our Savior, and the sacrifice that was offered for us is sufficient, and all that is needed to be able to give us eternal life, the presence of the Lord through life. There's never a moment in life when God is not with you. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. There's been a lot of times in my life as a Christian where I felt all alone and felt there was nowhere to turn, but I always realized this, that God is still with me. He is faithful. Other people may not be faithful. You know, people are fickle. They are. I'm fickle. I'll say I love you today. Tomorrow I may hate you because you do something. Amen. People are fickle. You know, when the crowd saw Jesus coming in on the day of Palm Sunday, what we call the triumphant entry, they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. It was only a week later, they were crying, Crucify him, crucify him. People are fickle, but God is not. God is faithful in his character, and he's faithful based on who he is, not who his people are. I'm thankful for that. His character is faithfulness. His commitment is his name for his great name's sake. God is not going to defile his name. Psalm 148:13 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. One of the things that we have as a Christian is we have that the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, because of the fact that his name is the whole basis of his character of faithfulness. Let us praise the name of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. You know, a lot of people like to walk around boasting about, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm with Jesus Christ. I'm glad for the historical aspect and the theological positions of Baptists throughout history, but the greatest name in all history is not Baptist, it's Jesus Christ. And so the presence that we have of God through life is not just based on his faithfulness, but it's based on the commitment that he has to us in reference to his name. Notice his compassion is his pleasure. In verse 22, it says, because it hath pleased the Lord. And I read that. And I thought, boy, that's a great statement. The compassion of God is God's pleasure. God, listen, God loves to love you. Isn't that an amazing thing? God takes pleasure in expressing his love to you and to me. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. God is pleased to pour compassion on sinful man that he might be delivered. It's an amazing thing. I'm thankful that the presence of the Lord is with me through life because of the fact God takes good pleasure in shedding compassion and love upon me. But not only that, but he's concerned for you. And it says in verse 22, to make you his people. I'm thankful that he is concerned for you. That's why Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me. Why is God present with us throughout life? Why was God present even when Israel was in a spirit of rebellion and wickedness? Because he takes pleasure in giving his compassion, because he has chosen to care for his own people. And I'm thankful that God cares for you tonight. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I love that song. And so the presence, God's presence, how great things he has done. He has given purpose in life. he has given and established his presence throughout life. Well, in verse 23, there's prayer during life. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you good and right things. And God takes pleasure and responds to the prayers of his people. Well, so you may wonder, why are we doing a 40-day fasting and praying? Because of the fact God takes pleasure in his people who talk to him. And you need to sign up for a day where you can take a 24-hour period and fast and pray. And I mean, seriously, take the time when you normally eat your meals and at least spend that amount of time in just prayer, talking to God, pursuing God, and allowing God to speak to you. And so prayer during life. Notice it's personal prayer. In verse 23, he says, moreover, as for me. And so very personal prayer. I'm thankful that, wait a minute, God hears your prayers. God responds to your prayers. God will acknowledge your prayers. But I can tell you this, I'm more thankful that he does it to mine. And I'm glad that God hears your prayers, but I'm thankful that when I'm in need and when I need to talk to my God, that he is listening and paying attention to me. In Psalm 5, if I can get out of Job, I'll get into it, amen. Psalm 5 in verse 3, says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. A wonderful thing is that you can have a personal time with God in prayer. And God wants us to talk to him. He wants to hear from us, and he wants to answer our prayer. Not only personal prayer, but perpetual prayer. He says here in verse 23, but moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord, ceasing to pray. You know, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. In other words, you can't be driving down the road and bow your head and close your eyes and have a great time of prayer with the Lord. You may be talking to him face to face, amen. And but I know this, that when the Bible says that, that we're to pray without ceasing, I believe it's speaking in reference to the fact that we ought to be in a spirit of prayer. We ought to be meditating on God. We ought to be focusing on the Lord. It's all right to talk to the Lord when you're walking down the street, when you're jogging. Hallelujah, we need to pray for yourself if you're going to jog. Amen. Now, if you're driving your car, you can talk to the Lord out loud, amen? People may think you're crazy, that's okay. They think we're crazy anyway. But talk to God out loud. Talk to the Lord and speak to the Lord and perpetually don't fall into the sin of ignoring the opportunities to talk to God. And so, who are we talking about here? Samuel, amen. Samuel recognized the fact that he needed to have a perpetual prayer. He did not want to sin in ceasing to pray. Notice there was productive prayer. He says, might sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you. And I'm thankful that Samuel represented God. He was the prophet of the Lord. And I believe through prayer that God wants to teach us a few things. God wants to help us understand that we can talk with Jesus about everything, amen? And there can be productivity in prayer. I appreciate Dave Z, he was talking to me, and they were talking about prayer in Sunday school, junior church today, was it? Junior church today. And one of the kids asked a question, and they said, well, it seems like God answered prayer in the Old Testament. God always answered prayers in the old days. Why isn't God answering prayer today? Woo. Boy, that brings conviction real quick. And it's amazing the conversation he got in with his class in there because of the fact that kids are aware of the fact that there ought to be a product in prayer. If we're talking to God, we ought to be able to see some answers. When was the last time you saw an answer to prayer? When was the last time you specifically talked to God about something you could do nothing about and God came through for you? Productive in prayer. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 20, Paul says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Productivity in our prayers is talking to God in a way that we are acknowledging that we know who Jesus Christ is, and he is the one who is going to teach us. He's going to help us to know how to pray, what to pray for, and then move on our behalf and be a blessing to us. Great things he hath done. Not only personal prayer, perpetual prayer, productive prayer, but there's piety in prayer. In verse 23, he says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you, and here it is, the good and the right way. So he's speaking to God and talking to God in reference to acknowledging that God is right and I'm wrong. I don't care what it is, the subject is you're bringing up to the Lord. God is always right and I am always wrong. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heaven is are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so Isaiah is reminding us that we need to find the good and the right way through prayer and talking to God about everything in our life. Now, Samuel comes to them, and as a conclusion of that, in verse 24 in our text, Samuel's conclusion is this: hey, only fear the Lord. Hey, this is what you need to do. If God is going to be with our prayers during life, he is present with us through life, he is providing purpose for us in life, then only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. There is no room for half-hearted Christianity. God wants it all. He wants all of us. For consider how great things he hath done for you. You say, why should I fear the Lord? I'll tell you why, because God's been good to you. You say, you don't know what I'm going through right now. No, you don't understand what you'd be going through if God wasn't with you. God's been good to you. So only fear the Lord and serve him with all your heart. Why? Because God has provided purpose, his presence, and he's given us the privilege of prayer. And so God has done great things for us. Let's always be willing to acknowledge his goodness and his grace towards us. Yes, you're going to fail him. Yes, you're going to stumble and fall. But the righteous man falls seven times, but he rises up again. God is ever with us and ever present with us. And let's focus on the good things that the Lord has done. It's easy to look at negative things. It's easy to complain about things in life. But why don't we just take time to praise the Lord for the good things he has done? How great things. Israel needed to be reminded of the goodness of their God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together tonight. We're thankful, God, that you're good. You're always good. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God, you always do right. We're thankful tonight. We really are thankful, Lord, that you have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, that you give us the privilege of being able to speak to you in prayer. And each and every moment of each and every day, Lord, we can sense the presence of the Lord. And God, we're just thankful. We really are thankful, Lord, that you're ever present with us. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, I pray that you'd touch them and help them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging the fact that he is the only way to heaven. He is the only means through which someone can be forgiven and they can be delivered tonight, Lord, and know that they're a child of God. I pray for every believer tonight, Lord, that we would not fall into the trap of trying to pattern our life after the culture in which we live, but rather we would walk with our God in newness of life each and moment of every day. And so, Lord, you've done great things, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's